Hi, welcome to Extra Time, the National Sports Podcast. I'm your host, John Turner, online sports editor here at the National. Joining me today for our Formula One 2017 season preview special is sports editor Graham Cagle. Graham, how are you doing today, mate?
Very good, thanks.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Must be excited about this weekend with the Formula One season kicking off in Melbourne.
Can't believe it's come around so quickly. It just feels like yesterday was in Yas Marina Circuit paddock trying to deal with the ramifications of Nico Rosberg's World Championship win sort of him being so emotional and all that stuff. So that coming back round again, and of course without Nico now as well, it seems very surreal when it's so quickly back round again.
You mentioned Rosberg there, and that's only one of the many kind of changes or things that F1 fans, you know, will have to kind of get used to this year. So we're going to kind of pick your brains about what fans can expect this first weekend over the season in general. There's been lots of change in the off season, so before we kind of address the teams and cars and drivers, I'd like to kind of get your thoughts on the real big sweeping change. I suppose we're entering a post Bernie Eccleston world, new owners who are kind of outlining short, medium, and long term plans. In a very basic sense, Graham, what sort of changes can F1 fans expect from the new owners kind of heading into this season to start with?
I think for this season, you're not going to see very much change. But with the owners, I think from the actual organisational side, that'll probably be looking more to the future and future regulation changes. There were some changes brought in before Liberty Media actually took over the running of the sport, I'm not sure if it's going to add to the show or not, to be honest. New aerodynamics have come in on the cars. They're going to be slightly different. And they've got wider tyres with the aim being to try and give them more grip so they can go quicker. And certainly in testing, it's looked like between 2 to 3 seconds a lap faster. So the cars will be quicker, particularly in corners, which should make great for great visuals. But whether that's going to improve the show, because obviously what Formula One is obviously decided on in terms of whether it's being a good show or not is the quality of the reel-to-reel racing and stuff. And even though it's been a private sort of Mercedes party for the last 2 or 3 years, like the midfield action generally has been quite good. And obviously we had some great overtaking with Max Verstappen and such, particularly in the last season or so, that's really sort of held the attention, particularly when the Mercedes have been disappearing down the road. And there's been kind of mixed signals on sort of what to expect. No one really does know. Lewis Hamilton, the triple world champion, was a bit doomsday about it, saying that he'd found it difficult to follow other cars because the problem with extra grip is it means like there's going to be more dirty air by following the car, so it's harder to stay close behind, which shouldn't help with overtaking in theory. But Verstappen was very positive about it, thinks it's still going to be possible and stuff. So that'll be one of the most telling things in Melbourne. And Melbourne's not one of the easiest tracks to pass on anyway. So even if Melbourne is a little bit processional, I wouldn't panic too much for the future of the season. I think if they're struggling to overtake in Bahrain with the long straights there, then they might be having an issue, and in China and Shanghai. So that's probably the biggest change, and the fact like the tyres as well from Pirelli are going to be a bit more durable, so you're not going to, hopefully the aim is that the drivers are able to push harder rather than having to look after the tyres and sort of like being a little bit more tactical in races as we kind of saw last season. So that might mean less pit stops, which in one stage gets rid of a little bit of the unpredictability element of it, but it does mean that probably more of the racing will be decided on track, which is, let's be honest, probably the way it should be. So I think it's encouraging, but I think the most important thing is not to be too knee-jerk either way in Melbourne. If it's a great race, that doesn't mean it's going to be a great season. And if it's a dull race, doesn't mean it's going to be an awful season.
Interesting stuff, mate. Interesting stuff. Right, let's discuss the reigning and now retired world champion. And, of course, the ramifications of that at Mercedes. Nico Rosberg retired after clinching his sole world championship. You're obviously there in Abu Dhabi to kind of witness the celebrations and, of course, the on-track action. His space after months of, mild speculation. Most people kind of thought it would be Valtteri Bottas that got his seat, and indeed he did. How do you see him fitting into that seat? His compatibility with Lewis Hamilton, he's proven to be not the easiest of teammates. He's rarely got on with his teammates for various reasons. How do you kind of see that dynamic playing out this season?
I think Bottas, everything we've seen from Valtteri before, sort of having spoken to him a few times himself, he comes across very sort of polite, very, very understated, almost like a typical Finn in many ways, especially past Finnish drivers in F1 like Kimi Räikkönen and Mika Häkkinen. But I think what's going to be interesting, I think what's crucial for him is that he makes a decent start at Mercedes and he beats Hamilton at least either in a qualifying session or ideally finishes ahead of him in one of the races early on, just to at least sort of mark his territory a little bit, because obviously Hamilton had largely the upper hand on Rosberg, but in their first season together, when they weren't challenging for the championship and it's more of a midfield car, Rosberg more than held his own during that time and sort of stamped his authority a little bit. As you said, Hamilton is not going to be an easy teammate because he's still making little digs at Rosberg now. He can't help himself. Hamilton is very much like, he's a huge fan of the late Ayrton Senna, and has sort of linked a lot of his career to Senna, the triple world champion. And Senna loved mind games, and Hamilton can't help it. It's all been nicey-nicey so far with Bottas, but what Bottas needs to do, ideally, the dream scenario is stick it on pole in Melbourne. And that would be a huge statement sent. Bottas is a very quick driver. He's impressed, particularly in 2014 when the Williams was more competitive. But he's had some good moments now. As the Williams has fallen back, so he's fallen back in midfield. But I remember particularly a drive in Canada last summer where the Williams, he ended up, for his, I think it was his lone podium of the season last year, but he ran pretty well. But he had Nico Rosberg in a much faster car behind him for about 15 laps mid-race and was never overtaken, but it wasn't easy. He didn't put a wheel wrong. He's got a great temperament. It's whether he's got the outright speed, because he's been up against, the only real comparison has been Felipe Massa, who's towards the tail end of his career, and Hamilton is a completely different beast. And if we're being completely honest, Hamilton would have won the world championship last season had it not been for mechanical problems and an inability at some races to get the car off the line properly. So I think Bottas has got it all to do in that regard.
So can you see it playing out in a way that if everything's going well for Hamilton and he's a happy camper and he's winning races and claiming podiums and claiming lots of championship points and leading the standings, then things would stay relatively calm? But if things are working against Hamilton, then that's maybe when we'll start seeing the mind games again. Perhaps we'll start seeing some friction between the two drivers.
I don't know if it would necessarily be the two drivers, because obviously, in fairness to Hamilton, obviously he and Rosberg had a couple of clashes last season, but he blew up his own team as much as at Rosberg. There was a strong rumour going on in the paddock that particularly after Spain, when they collided on their first lap, that Hamilton had actually offered to walk away for the season, which was how disillusioned he was. And he was particularly upset with Mercedes last year for them swapping some of the mechanics around on the cars. And apparently he's had clear-the-air talks with Toto Wolff over that. So I think from Bottas's point of view, his best chance of beating Hamilton, or at least sort of establishing himself in the team, I think, is to sort of, obviously it's going to be done on the track, but he needs to get something on him early on. Like either it's a couple of pole positions, or maybe just outdo him in qualifying, even if they're not the quickest car. Maybe get a result over him early on. Just, he needs something to sort of make sure that he's not going to be defined as the number two, because everything screams that this season is going to be a little bit more competitive after testing. So it's not, might not necessarily be a private Mercedes draw for the championship like we've had in the past three seasons.
Mate, you had an interesting prediction yourself when we were just casually talking about the upcoming F1 season the other day. You don't think that Bottas will win too many races this season, do you?
Well, if this is all defined by the fact that Ferrari weren't completely messing around on fuel, but if Ferrari are as quick as they look like they're going to be, they're going to be a real handful for Mercedes. And so I'm hoping we are going to have an inter-team battle for the championship this season between Ferrari, Mercedes and possibly Red Bull as well. And in which case, if you are looking at, there's 20 races in the season, if they're split a little bit more evenly, and say Ferrari get half of them and Mercedes get half of them, realistically, it's very hard to have two championship contenders with one team. And so I would expect Hamilton to take the bulk of those. From what we know what Lewis can do. We know Lewis is like, he's a triple world champion. He probably could be a five times world champion. He's missed out on a couple of others through no fault of his own. We know what he can do. We don't really know what Valtteri Bottas can do in a race-winning car, because it's easy to impress in a midfield car, but there's not many expectations. If you're only expected to be 9th or 10th and you can suddenly run quite close to the front, obviously that's an upset and that's great. But when you're expected every weekend, you've got the fastest car in the field, going out there, sticking it on pole, having the mental application to do that, not make any mistakes and then lead from the front, it is a completely different challenge. And sometimes I think we do take it for granted when Hamilton and previous to that Vettel at Red Bull used to dominate seasons, and Michael Schumacher back in his days at Ferrari. There is a mental capacity to doing that, and we don't know if Bottas has got that side to him. So, and if it's going to be very, very competitive, you might not get many opportunities to do that. And if towards in the season it is Mercedes against Ferrari, they might roll back Hamilton if it is a Hamilton versus Vettel duel, in which case he might have to play as a number two. So I think he will win a race this season, but I'm not expecting it to be anywhere like the kind of numbers that Rosberg was putting up.
Interesting stuff, mate. Before we move on to the other teams then, I mean, you touched on it very briefly, and I suppose it is one of the big talking points that F1 fans are kind of interested to see play out this upcoming season. It is whether the Mercedes cars will be as dominant as they have been in previous years. Now, as you mentioned just briefly, in testing, it doesn't seem that way. The noise coming out of Mercedes from Wolff and Hamilton, they're both bracing themselves for a much more competitive season. Is that what F1 fans should be expecting this year? Or is it a load of hot air coming out of Mercedes just kind of downplaying their dominance? How do you kind of see it going? Is what they're saying, you know, is there a strong element of truth to that?
I think there's a little bit of everything in there, really, because that's kind of the fascinating thing. Why the first qualifying session of the season in Melbourne is always so much fun, because that's kind of like when the mind games end, because there were stories in testing in Barcelona of Vettel deliberately backing off towards the end of laps in his Ferrari to show like just how quick they actually could go. And Hamilton never really set any real strong time. But in fairness to Mercedes, in previous seasons, they've never really gone chasing lap times. They've all been about the race setup, and which is always a good sign of sort of confidence in your car. But Hamilton, I think Hamilton did come out and say that he hasn't really found a setup he's really completely happy with, and acknowledged they haven't nailed the performance in the car. I think F1 fans will hope that at least Ferrari and Red Bull are up there with them, if not slightly ahead of them, because I think in the new season, when you've got new regulations, it's not like going to be a standing grid. What you see in Australia won't necessarily be what you see in Abu Dhabi. And if as your cars evolve, I think Mercedes obviously will have some of the biggest resources. So even if Mercedes aren't quite there in Australia, they'll certainly be there, or will have died trying and improving the car as the season goes on. So I would actually hope, and I think a lot of F1 fans are hoping, that Mercedes are slightly behind Ferrari and Red Bull at the first race to make. So we've seen Mercedes dominate, but we haven't really seen them chase for quite a long time, and I think it would be a fascinating narrative.
Let's move on to the team that dominated before Mercedes did. Of course, perhaps the most entertaining and most attention-grabbing driver and storyline came from the young Red Bull teenager, Max Verstappen. Let's kind of focus on him for a little bit, Graham. We're expecting him to, again, provide more thrills, more, again, to be a big part of the 2017 Formula One kind of storyline. How's everything shaping up for him and Red Bull? What are you expecting out of those cars and in him in particular?
I think with Red Bull, it's a little bit of a checkered expectation in regard to the fact like they've had reliability issues, but particularly with the Renault engine in testing. And obviously, a lot of it is still going to be defined by the Renault engine. They've made encouraging noises. They're being aggressive, trying to get more horsepower into the car so they can be closer to Mercedes, because it's kind of unwritten rule that the Red Bull is terrific on aerodynamics. And it's one of the sort of grippiest car on the grid, but on power tracks would often get left behind because of the Renault engine. So some of that's out of Max's and his teammate Daniel Ricciardo's hands to an extent. But all signs point to the fact that, you know, they might not be quite the quickest car, but they might be close enough to kind of like what they did last year. When they did get a chance, they could mix it, or certainly sort of put pressure on the guys ahead of them. As you were saying with Max, I think the thing I'm quite excited about is he had a tremendous first season with Red Bull. You have to remember, he only came into the Red Bull team after four races to replace Daniel Kvyat. He won on his first time out in Barcelona. And it seems weird to say that, but it easily wasn't his most impressive performance of the season, because he kind of got there a little bit on strategy, because his teammate was ahead of him, and it was only a strategy call that probably really ended up winning Max that race. He drove superbly in the later stages on all the tyres, but it wasn't raw pace that got him that win. And he improved as the season went on, because in a lot of the earlier races, he probably was getting put in the shade by Dan Ricciardo a little bit. But then in the second half of the season, he really sort of, particularly after summer break, he did put on some majestic performances, like sticking the car in the front row in Belgium, finishing second in Japan, finishing second behind Ricciardo in Malaysia as well. And probably he was quicker than Dan that weekend. It's kind of an irony that both Red Bull guys have won a race, but probably their teammate actually had the better claim on that race victory. So that's what makes this battle between these two guys so close. And then obviously there was a brilliant performance in Brazil, which obviously had everyone raving when he came through from the back of the field towards the end of the race to finish third.
I mean, that's probably going to be the race that people remember in years to come when they look back on the 2016 season, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was just so refreshing to watch that. And it was the fact, like, because for someone so young to achieve so much, he is so remarkably down to earth. And he was, I remember speaking to him just before the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and he was just treating like it just being a nice casual Sunday drive. And he was just so relaxed about it, and it was like, he is an absolute superstar in the making. The moment that boy has the best car in the field, it's going to be game over. We're going to be looking at Schumacher seasons from the early 2000s again. So in a way, we should enjoy why he's actually one of the guys chasing, because when he gets to the top, he will be the next guy reeling off four or five titles in a row.
Just still on Red Bull, you mentioned briefly about the kind of duels that both Ricciardo and Verstappen kind of enjoyed last season. You know, lots of focus on Verstappen last season. Is going to be a lot of focus on him ahead of this season, and you know, furthermore, as the season unfolds. But you know, his teammate's no slouch either, is he? I mean, Daniel Ricciardo is a fine driver in his own right, and will be in and amongst it if the Red Bull car is capable of doing so.
I think it is easy to say they are the best partnership in F1 in terms of driver strength, because, as you said, Ricciardo is a sensational driver. He beat Sebastian Vettel in the same car at Red Bull in 2014. This was a guy who just reeled off four titles in a row. So that was an excellent effort in its own right. And Dan Ricciardo said himself that Verstappen's helped get the best out of him as well. But it's been fascinating to see. Neither of them really ever consistently had the upper hand on the other one. And they kind of played nice with each other. There was a couple of sort of very close instances at a couple of races, but they largely sort of played nice. But Max had a couple of excellent races where he really put Dan in the shade, and obviously Brazil was one of them. But then, in fairness to Dan, he did the same back. Monaco, he absolutely blitzed the field that weekend, and only a poor pit stop cost him the win. And Max was nowhere there, made mistakes in qualifying and in the race. And then the same in Singapore, where Max really wasn't a factor all weekend. Well, Dan, if there'd been an extra lap in that race, would have beaten Nico Rosberg to the race win. So it's a fascinating element, and I think it's going to be huge for both of their futures, really, this season, because they're both aware, like, come the end of this season, a lot of contracts at other teams are going to be up for grabs and stuff, and who knows what's going to happen if Bottas doesn't work out. Hamilton's already making noises at Mercedes about, you know, how long is he going to be committed to the sport. If things don't work out for Vettel and Ferrari this year, he might go. Kimi Raikkonen's in the last year, and then on another last year deal with Ferrari. There's going to be options open with other teams possibly as well, and it is just one of those very exciting driver teams. Only one of them can, you know, really come out on top. There can only be one man. It's not like you can share things. Only one has to be quicker than the other one in qualifying. One has to be quicker in the race. And if they do get into a title fight as well, which would be amazing, it'll be fascinating to see, because at the moment they've got a very good relationship. I've seen them both together and they do seem to really get on. But that will only go so far, I think. Once there's race wins and titles at stake, I do think we're going to see both of them get a lot more ruthless, and that's when the feathers will fly.
If you had to hang your hat on it then, mate, stake your reputation on it, who would you see coming out on top this season?
I think ultimately, purely just because I was so impressed with him last season, joining a team and racing in the car that he hadn't started the season in. He didn't have a full pre-season. He's got that this time. He's going to have a little bit more experience as well. I think there's enough in Max that I think Max is the next superstar, and I don't think he'll hammer Ricciardo by any means. I still think there'll be odd weekend when Dan has him, but I think over the season, I expect Max to be a little bit more experienced, make a few little less mistakes than last season, and finish higher in the championship, and probably get what race wins do come Red Bull way will go his to him.
There we go. You've heard it here first, folks. Right, let's move on to theoretically the third of who we're expecting to be potential championship challengers this season. Graham, let's spend a bit of time discussing Ferrari, Sebastian Vettel, where Kimi Raikkonen kind of fits into all this. Are we finally seeing a sort of re-emergence of a competitive Ferrari car here? Is Sebastian Vettel a legitimate title contender this year from what we're being told so far, what we've seen so far? Again, until the first race weekend or the first few race weekends, we won't truly know. But as things stand at the minute, are Ferrari legitimate title challengers?
Everything, all the words that came out of testing and sort of the body language of Ferrari, they were doing their best to kind of play it down. And the way the stories of Vettel backing off on the straight after a quick lap to try and avoid doing lap time and really was intriguing. And so the way they were doing it as well screamed like they wanted Mercedes to know they had stuff in hand. So I think they'll go there certainly expecting to be able to challenge for the win. And in fairness, they should have won Australia last year, but that was largely more down to Mercedes completely messing up their starts. Because Ferrari were winless last season, and they haven't won the team championship since 2008, and they haven't won the drivers' championship since 2007. So it's been quite a long drought for the most successful team in F1. But I think it'll be great to have them up there. I think primarily because Vettel's too good a driver to have down in the midfield. Like, he's not everyone's cup of tea. Obviously, some of his antics with shouting and moaning on the radio can sort of get boring quite quickly. But he is still a fantastic driver. And what I think everyone is kind of hoping for, we've never ever had it, despite the fact their careers have been so intertwined, they've dominated the championships largely since 2008, is we've never really had a Hamilton versus Vettel duel for the championship. And really, really hoping that's what we can get out of this, because I think it's what the sports need, because they're both at times they can be sort of lovely young men, very, very, very friendly. They're both amenable in the paddock and stuff, but they're both very competitive beasts, and they both don't like it when things go their way and can get quite animated. And it would just be a lot of fun to have them going up against it. I think there'll be a lot of respect there, but I don't think much quarter to be given. But we've never really ever had it. Like, all of Hamilton's championships, Vettel was either at the start of his career or not in a competitive car. And yeah, technically you can say Hamilton was in the fight with Vettel at the 2010 title decider. They were both in it, but that was more because of Red Bull being so unreliable. Vettel had a clear car advantage in all his seasons, and it was just marginally Red Bull being inconsistent. But so to have those two in semi-decent cars, because we haven't had a real decent sort of title fight between two drivers in sort of equal cars but in different teams kind of going up against each other, where it's whoever does a better job on the weekend. Because part of the only thing that really sort of hurt last season, with Hamilton and Rosberg was that Mercedes were kind of influencing it themselves still. Like, that drama, it obviously added to the drama, Hamilton getting told off for going too slowly by his own team in the late stages. But how much more fun would that have been if Rosberg was driving for another team? That's kind of what I'm hoping for, the excitement. We've had it in previous, like, Hamilton had it with Felipe Massa at Ferrari in 2008. I remember 2006, Alonso at Renault versus Schumacher at Ferrari. Obviously, in the late 90s, you had Mika Häkkinen at McLaren versus Schumacher at Ferrari. Jack Villeneuve at Williams versus Schumacher at Ferrari. They were all great duels, but involved different teams. And I just think there would be a certain edge to the season that would come from that. And I think the two most successful drivers of the generation going up against each other would be fantastic.
As you said as well, mate, I think it's exactly what F1 needs, particularly in terms of bringing the casual fan back to the sport. I think there's been, you know, the casual fan has been got disillusioned with Formula One in recent years. The people that don't understand or appreciate the kind of technical side of things, and just want to see, you know, rivals battling for titles, as is the case in most sports. They really do need, the sport really needs something like that in the next couple of years to bring the casual fan back.
Oh no, completely. It's like one of the great myths is like when there's controversy or sort of like drama. Some you often hear comments say, "Oh, that's the last thing people want to see." It's like, no, it's actually the complete opposite. People want to see excitement. They want to see drama. They want to see collisions or sort of like real to real racing that are very sort of close, that are almost close to the edge. They want to be you want F1 to be exciting and unpredictable, and you do want characters. And I always do feel sorry for Hamilton sometimes when he'll say anything in the media and he'll get sort of attacked for it sometimes. Some of it's his own making, and he does sometimes come up with some daft stuff. And the same with Vettel to an extent now. But like, you do want that drama, sort of like the Mexican Grand Prix last year was one of the dullest races of the season, just watching the Mercedes trotter in the distance. You wouldn't have remembered it the next day. Luckily for F1, Sebastian Vettel lost the plot and was shouting abuse at the race director on the radio. You want those passionate characters, and you want them to be able to... The only thing F1 did well was not sanctioning him properly for it. They gave him a bit of a warning, you know, because obviously kids are watching. But, you know, sort of like, you do need that drama. You need that edge. You do need excitement. You need good racing, but you do need characters. I think Liberty Media are aware of that by the fact they've kind of loosened up things so drivers can start using Snapchat more in the paddock and stuff. And obviously it's still going to be controlled a little bit. We are in a PR era. But on track, you know, you just need fun. You need excitement. As you said, it needs to be something that people want to talk about, the coffee machine the next day on the school playground. Oh, did you see Vettel v Hamilton yesterday? Sure. That's what we need, desperately.
For sure, mate. If Ferrari and Vettel are possible candidates, where does Raikkonen fit into this then, if he's in the same car? Are you discounting him as a possible contender this season, and why?
I think realistically, only reason I would discount him is just because I think Vettel's better than him. I think realistically, just the same as like when Hamilton won two of his three titles against Rosberg, obviously Rosberg was a contender, but Hamilton just naturally had a couple 2-3 temp second edge on him. Like Kimi was much closer to Seb in the second half of last season, but you didn't have your body language to read that sort of Seb was probably losing his focus a little bit. Probably just frustrated with the fact that, because the Ferrari was a disappointment, but they should have won races. Some of the strategy was awful last year, and that's going to be the one big thing they're going to have to improve on this season. They can't afford to throw away races like they did in Australia and Canada with bad calls, because Mercedes were an absolute machine when it came to that stuff last season. And like strategy, even though you wanted the silent track, when to make tyre stops, you know, what kind of tyres to start weekends on, those are all going to be crucial elements to it in that sense. But going back to your point, I think obviously, we know Kimi can win a world championship because he did in 2007. But it had everything had screamed, and personally, I actually thought he would retire last season. But I think Ferrari sort of going with the fact that clearly him and Seb do get on, and quite frankly, given everything I've just said about how Seb can be a bit of a feisty character, the last thing you want is putting some young upstart in there who could try and beat Seb. I think Kimi knows his place, he knows his role, he plays fairly with Seb. He might pick up a couple of race wins if the Ferrari is really competitive, but I just don't think he's got the consistency or raw speed. Maybe 10, if this was 2005, then maybe yes, but in 2017 I think Kimi is just content to play the team game, try and score some podiums, and maybe, and if Ferrari won him for 2018, great. If not, he can retire a world champion and go and relax on the beach somewhere.
Sounds good to me, mate. Sounds good. Can I retire in 2018 and relax on the beach? Right, okay, let's discuss another world champion who certainly won't be in the mix this season unless he can pull off his own Leicester City, and that's Fernando Alonso. He's taken up a few column inches in the off-season, and for not really the right reasons. He doesn't seem to be too pleased with the way things are going. He's cut a pretty sorry figure in testing. Could this be his last season? Is he kind of getting a bit disillusioned with things now? He's one of the most talented drivers of his generation, and yet he's still going to be in a car that can't really do anything for him. What happens with Alonso this season, and do you think he'll be in F1 after this year?
I think Alonso is going to be one of the most fascinating narratives of the season, because everything about the McLaren in testing has screamed like it's going to be a bit of a disaster in Australia, because the Honda engine's being woefully unreliable, and when it has gone, hasn't had much power. So apparently, from all accounts and from testing reports, the car actually has been okay. I think Eric Boullier actually came out and said he believed they could challenge for wins if they had a Mercedes engine, which I'm not sure is the most sensible thing to say when you're trying to still build very good relations with your Japanese partners at Honda. But going back to what you said about Alonso, it's gonna be another season realistically of being a bit part player, and considering just how good this guy is, like, he's won two world championships, but hard to believe it's 2006 was the last time he was world champion. Like, he's a master of making the most out of whatever's given to him, but I don't think he can pull off miracles in this McLaren. And you wouldn't blame him if he walked away and went to somewhere like endurance racing or somewhere where, like, it's a little bit more of a fair affair. Like, you know, he's been in F1 a long time. He actually, his first season was 2001. And he's won world championships. He really should have won more. But if he did stop, if he did decide before straight out, can't be bothered to do this, this is nonsense, you wouldn't blame him. But where I do think it's going to be interesting is that there are going to be seats open. Like, Ferrari, obviously, Alonso's only issue is, like, you know, Ferrari will have an option open, but I could never see him going back there after it kind of ended off a bit acrimonious when he was there before. And Hamilton and him had a bit of a lively time when they were teammates back at McLaren in 2007. So who knows if Mercedes did have a seat spare, if things didn't work out with Bottas, wanted to go there. What I would love to see Alonso do is, he's been in F1 for 16 years or so. He doesn't need the money at this stage. He's driving for the passion. Is kind of do something. I'm not sure if you remember the story of about more than 25 years. I think it was 25 years ago when Ayrton Senna was frozen out of trying to get into the Williams team by Alain Prost when he was desperate to get there. And so Senna offered to drive for free, essentially, as a way of trying. Because what team owner wouldn't turn that down? Frank Williams was desperate to do it, but was contractually bound not to. But it was a great power play. And sort of Alonso, you know, it's the best way of getting into a decent car. Because, like, unfortunately, I think the three strongest cars are Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. And I don't see Red Bull going for them, realistically, given the strong quality they've got and their hope to promote from within. But I really would like to see him being a little bit creative here. Like, if he really doesn't think McLaren have got any hope, because he's in the last year of his McLaren contract, I kind of think, like, something's got to come to a head here, because McLaren don't look like they're any further forward than when he first arrived at the team. Probably the happiest guy is Jenson Button, who's well out of this. Like, Button, you know, could have stayed, or possibly could have stayed as well. And it's going to be quite galling when you've won a world championship, when you've been in the front, sort of fighting with the Saubers at the back of the field, as it looks like they're going to be doing in Melbourne. It's going to be a case of just sort of how brave a face can Fernando put on it.
Top stuff, mate. Just for our last couple of minutes, who else do you see struggling? We touched on Alonso. Who do you think will also be having a frustrating season this year?
I think, obviously, we've lost the Manor Racing team over the winter. We're down to 10 teams and 20 cars, which is a massive shame. I always had a lot of time for Manor, sort of like one of the independent teams. After everything they went through with Jules Bianchi, it's very sad to have lost them. So the team that were immediately ahead of them was Sauber, who really struggled last year. And if it hadn't been for the rain in Brazil, wouldn't have scored any points. And even they've got a little bit more investment coming into the team, it's still, they don't have that much money. It's going to be a very tough season in terms of for them. They've got a 2016 engine in the Ferrari, so they're not going to be up anywhere near the engine power of the front team. So I do fear they're going to be the tail end Charlies. After that, it's kind of a hard one. Like, Haas Racing started last season well, but fell away with a brake issue. But I think it would be a very close midfield, possibly with Sa. But I think Toro Rosso might fall away as the season goes on, limited again by investment and such as the season goes. My hope is that Renault improved considerably, not least for Nico Hülkenberg, who I think is one of the best drivers in the grid, never to have got on the podium. And I really hope he's got something he can work with this season. There are certainly signs that Renault were improving as the season goes on. And I think he will absolutely make the most of that car, and will probably, as another prediction, will probably almost certainly end Julian Palmer's career in Formula 1, because I think Palmer was kind of lucky to really survive the F1 season last year, if we're being completely honest. But I think being up against someone as good as Nico Hülkenberg will really sort of ram that home.
One final question for you. Just a two-word or two-name answer. Who is going to be world champion this year?
Sebastian Vettel.
Huge statement. Right, Graham, thanks very much. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks for all your wisdom.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's all we have time for. This podcast was produced by the National Multimedia Desk, who you can follow on Twitter at NSVUAE, and the Sports Desk at NatSportUAE. Thanks for listening.